a human being, insan. Allah Ta'ala has created his base desires, his nafs. And the whole clash, you can say, is based on or due to this nafs, desires. The whole argument, the whole story. This nafs, the desires, with regards to the human being, it makes him distant from Allah, far from Allah, and it makes the human being commit shirk, it makes him a mushrik, and it makes him disobedient, and it makes him commit big sins. And it's the same nafs that if it is improved or corrected, then it introduces a person to Allah, takes a person to Allah. Allah Ta'ala has created ajeeb thing, which is the nafs. We cannot like or dislike somebody. It is a unique thing. Shaitan isn't as dangerous. The Quran has said that all of Shaitan's matters are weak. They are not genuine. He doesn't have power. He looks strong, but he is dangerous. His wasawis, his whispers are very dangerous. But what he does, Shaitan, he creates whispering, Malik innas, ilah innas, min sharil waswasil khannas. He creates waswasa. Yes? Min sharril waswasil khannas, alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurinnas. What do you do? If you do this, you become mushrik. You're saying this to Allah. There are many people who say that we don't want to say anything. Astaghfirullah. But our thoughts, they become such as if like we are disobeying Allah, we are doing disobedience to Allah, we are disrespecting Allah. These are the thoughts of the human being. So then he becomes upset. What shall I do? How shall I get the cure? He runs around up and down and asks here and there. Some people say it's jinn, it's a ghost, it's a but what is it? It is shaitan that's affecting him. He inserts thoughts and whispers into the person's mind, makes him distressed. And shaitan, he does make a person go down. He does distress people. There's a person, if he keeps on whispering thoughts to you, saying bad thoughts to you, bad thoughts, why are you doing this? Do this, don't do that. But he is daif. He is weak. He's only got one plan. That if you concentrate and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. If you turn to Allah and say this, then what will happen? Do you know what the meaning of this is? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That Allah Ta'ala, that I seek refuge, and please, I seek refuge in you, please protect me from shaitan. So how do we get far from shaitan, safe from shaitan? When a person asks Allah for refuge, and then Allah Ta'ala, please distance me from him, please get me away from him. And the tariqah for taking protection, asking Allah for protection, when you're asking Allah's protection, you want to refuge from shaitan, if you are asking for Allah's protection because you're afraid of shaitan, Allah Ta'ala says, the meaning of my protection, Allah says, then do my dhikr, remember me. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That is how daif, that is how weak is shaitan, that he is a coward, he makes us mad, crazy, makes us mushrik. His thoughts, whispers are very dangerous indeed. But as soon as you start the dhikr of Allah, then he gets afraid, scared, he runs off, he scarpers. Subhanallah. And he leaves the heart. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah, shall I tell you his event? I share this with you regularly. What a great sheikh. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah alayhi. And once he requested Allah, because these are the words of the friends of Allah. He said, Allah, what does shaitan do? Look at the waswasas he injects and how he takes us far from you. Allah, please experience, allow me to see this. The words of Allah's friends, Allah likes their words and he loves his friends and he listens to and he understands and shows them sometimes. So he was sitting in Maraqba and Allah Ta'ala gave him ilham, inspiration. If you want to see that, how does shaitan give waswasa to people? How does he run away from the let me show to you right now. And what was his maqam? He was Qayyum Mujaddad, Wali Allah, head of the Walis, great personality. Has a Mujaddad Al-Aftani, the reviver of the deen after 1,000 years. Tell me. So when Allah Ta'ala showed him, when he desired, Allah said, okay, fine, I'll show you, demonstrate to you that what is the hal of a person after he seeks refuge. It's a very good lesson for us, this is, very good lesson. The friends of Allah, they show this so that when we go to them, these are the things we get from the friends of Allah. So when he asked Allah, can he see this? He said, I'm prepared, Allah. Then Allah said, okay, stop doing dhikr. What should you do? Stop doing dhikr. And how could he stop doing dhikr? That subhanAllah, he would teach the people of the dunya how to start remembering Allah. So how could he stop his lessons? But Allah Ta'ala's mercy came. Allah Ta'ala says, kun, everything stopped, isn't it? So Allah said, kun, all his lataif became empty, hollow. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Fatani, totally empty inside, hollow, nothing left. The dhikr of Allah, the sign of it, the practice disappeared. Imagine, what a great maqam. And when he saw to his heart, the dhikr disappeared, there was no dhikr. Then the experience started. What did he see there? The heart, and that there's like a small like insect, like a mosquito. You know a small mosquito? Yeah? It came, it sat on the heart, and then it took its tentacles out, you know, like its injection. And this is what happens. Allah allows them to experience. So it took its bite out and it bit on the heart. Soon as zikr stopped, and the mosquito, the insect came, and then he felt that his whole body, negative thoughts started to arise. How can this be? Where's Allah? Where's Jannah? How can this be? He said, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I've understood. Allah, he asked for forgiveness. Tawbah, Allah, I've understood. Then Allah Ta'ala returned him to that same muqam, the same status as beforehand. So this is how a person, as a Shah Waliullah Dehlvi rahmatullah, he had an event, an incident, similar. He was also showed, Allah Ta'ala, what a great shaykh, as a Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayh. And the narration states that Allah Ta'ala, shaitan, when he is set free on a person, what's that verse? It's not coming into my mind. There's a verse, isn't it, in the Quran, that when Allah Ta'ala, when a person is lazy from dhikr, when he neglects Allah's dhikr, yes, dhikrul rahman, Allah Ta'ala sends shaitan, sets him free, he's loose, free, and he overwhelms the individual. So as a Shah Waliullah rahmatullah, when he looked towards this verse, there's an insan sitting down, and he's busy, and Allah Ta'ala allowed him to see, he left dhikr, disappeared from dhikr. When he left dhikr, then for example, somebody came and sat next to him, and waswasa, whispering came into him. And then when he started to do dhikr again, then that individual scarpered. So shaitan, his wasawis, if you want to be saved from the whispering of shaitan, what is the method? Say it loudly. What is it? Yes, to remember Allah, dhikr. Some people think, I do dhikr but nothing happens, there's no effect. The reason for this is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system in the day, on the heart, is based on yaqeen, certainty. Certainty. And if you don't have yaqeen that dhikr will benefit me, then dhikr will not benefit you. Allah ta'ala says, I react to your thoughts, your desires, what you want. A person who has yaqeen, that definitely dhikr of Allah will eliminate the problems. And it will eliminate shaitan. He will take dhikr with yaqeen. Certainty after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, there's no effect. But he doesn't step back. He said, this is the cure. This is the cure. Allah Ta'ala stated, I won't get back from this. I won't take any other assistance apart from dhikr of Allah. Then the effect takes place from dhikr. Subhanallah. So this is my personal experience. Personal experience. That dhikr, the effect of dhikr on me after 15 years, you could say the effect took place. How many years? 15. And after whose sohbat did I sit and do dhikr? Whose company? He was the ghawth of his time. I used to sit and do dhikr with him. Subhanallah. And this is the hal of my hal, that top to bottom, wherever I'd sit, it was hot anyway. I was sweat all over. And I thought in my thoughts, Hazrat, assist me. I thought Hazrat wasn't assisting me. These were my thoughts. I wasn't saying from my tongue. I was sat in dhikr with my sheikh, and the wazawis of shaitan would pester me so much that I'd be covered in sweat. I'd need to get away from here. And it was a deep feeling at that time. And inside I'm saying to Hazrat Sahab, I've come to you, pay attention to me, have mercy on me, etc. And I'm seeing the Hazrat, there's no tawajjuh coming. And That's the effect of a person when he sees the waswasa, but the yaqeen should increase. So I took my yaqeen to the heights with the fadl and Allah's karam, with Allah's blessings and mercies, that even if I pass away, even if I have to pass away, be shaheed, but I will not leave this path. I made that certainty. Despite the thoughts, I had made that conviction. And I felt that shaitan, he will have to leave me. He'll have to leave me 15, 20 years later, then the release came. The release came, subhanallah. How long did it take? Tell me. How long? And waswasa, whispering, is such that 30 minutes is difficult for a person to pass. 30 minutes, isn't it? Very difficult, my brothers. So waswasa, the cure for waswasa is the dhikr of Allah. And when will dhikr give benefit? When will dhikr give benefit? When a person with istiqamat, when he is steadfast and he adheres to dhikr, if Allah Ta'ala has given the cure, then there's no other cure, no tablets, antidepressants, or not any antidepressants or tranquilizers or a mental home. If there's a cure, it would be from one solution, one source, from Allah. Allah will give the cure. But how sad, because Allah Ta'ala develops yaqeen. It's not that easy that Allah Ta'ala, He can elevate somebody. Remember, when something is proven, when something is proven that nafs is present, it is reality. The Quran has told us clearly that this is the nafs, the desires, and it's come to us and it will affect us like this. Then that's how it will be. After that, even if a person passes away, even if he has to be set aside, whatever happens, he shouldn't leave that path that Allah Ta'ala explained, that you will get this from here. You will get this from me. Make this the principle of your life. And this is the life of a human being. And this is the yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala likes. Yes? So who was this? Shaitan we spoke about first. But there's also the Guru Gantal. Yes, the criminal that is worse than shaitan. Expert. He can overtake many shaitans. And that is the nafs of the human being. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَاهَا. Allah says, the nafs is more dangerous, more cunning, more dangerous. Today we are like animals. Look at the situation of our deen in the and our condition in the world. And it's not due to shaitan, it's due to our nafs, our desires. So, nafs doesn't come into control due to dhikr. If you do dhikr, shaitan runs away. Yes, nafs doesn't come into control due to dhikr. It puts shaitan back. Nafs, so that you can't control this man. Get back, you're wasting my time. Look how I'll affect this person. I'll make him do dhikr, zina quickly. You whisper to him, oh, do it, she's attractive, and speak to her. You can take an hour. But the nafs says, within a few moments, see how I will take all of his piety out of him. Within a minute, I'll make him free from salah. And he said to shaitan, leave him to me. Leave this prey to me. So nafs is very dangerous indeed. Very dangerous. One point is coming to my mind, that if a person does one action, that if I promise from today, then I will have to accept, if something, an issue occurs, then I need to accept what I should be doing. And what will I need to accept? That in this verse, there's the whole lesson about the destruction due to the nafs. Yes, the danger of the nafs. Doesn't matter how much dhikr you do, striving you do. What is the teaching here? Is that we need to decide in life, my friends. Yes, I'm telling you the effect of the nafs and what we need to do. Who should we listen to? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, i.e. via his sunnah sharifa. Practicing his sunnah sharifa. And the other point will be the opposition of the nafs. So it doesn't matter how much goodness you see, enjoyment you see, whatever you see, but we are not going to obey the nafs. Who are we going to obey and listen to? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what we're going to listen to. That's all we need to think about. That's it. When a person makes this decision that I'm not going to listen to the nafs, then practice this for one day. Practice one day that I'm not going to listen to the nafs. When you wake up in the morning, then make this niyyah that today I'm going to listen all day to who? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words. Whatever he states, that's what I'm going to do. Subhanallah. I'm not going to listen to the nafs today. Today, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't eat, then I will not eat. If Nabi ﷺ said, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to sleep. You're not going to do this action at this time, I'm not going to do this action at that time. Whatever Nabi ﷺ has told us, whatever he's told us according to the time, the day, the plan, I will implement that and I'll pass my life like that. You're not going to touch this, you're not going to look at this, you're not going to do this. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared this, that there's nothing in your whole life about which the Holy Prophet ﷺ has not given us an instruction that do this or don't do this. Is this not the case, brothers? This is our whole deen. This is our deen. That there is no Nabi before who had deen like this, or Sharia like Allah Ta'ala prepared. Rasulullah's every single action was made apparent, delivered to us, shown to us after many years. For example, if you're a Muslim in Bolton, the deen will come to you. If you're a Muslim in America, it will reach there. If you're a Muslim in Ireland, you will get the message. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words will be communicated to all, wherever they are. SubhanAllah. And unique situations. If they don't know the people, then Allah Ta'ala will send a person from a country and he will give them the work of them to go to this country and meet this person. They'll come there and they will start to explain the deen. What is the deen? This is the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is what you need to know. This is a very important point, that whenever somebody comes, then bring your deen with you. SubhanAllah. When you come to ask for donation or charity, then bring the deen with you, explain the deen, and think this in this country, that we're coming from such a country which is the pillar of Islam, and deen has emanated from here, deen is spread here, hadith are taught here, shariat is taught here, and we are wealthy with this. But where I'm going to ask for donations, then those people in those countries are not that progressed in their practice, and they're stuck in maal and wealth in the culture there. So why shouldn't I do this action? That along with my task to spread the deen, I should bring something back, and I should also spread the deen whilst I'm there. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. So I say this with apology. Our colleagues come, they ask for donations, and then they depart. It's sad. They should say, let me tell you a sunnah in passing. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. What do they say? Yes, then let me tell you something, brothers who are sat here. And today, let me tell you, Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and because they are doing the work of the deen, I've come here to take the donation so we can go and teach the Sunnah. So why don't I share that with you now? Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So have you seen anyone like that until today? You haven't seen that, have you? So this is our hal of our ummah, our situation. Everyone's worried about himself. So what's this called? Nafs, desires. Every qawm, tribe, nation following nafs, desires. This is the lesson that the nafs has given. Yes, if we saw that don't listen to the nafs, and he obeyed who? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then first and foremost, he would have listened to this point, that I'm sending you as a deputy spreading the deen. Then you need to spread the deen. You need to spread the deen, and I will fill your pocket with the money, with the funds. But he's worried about the pocket first. Spreading the deen, Mulana Sahib sat here on the member, and don't think this. Think that I've come from such a place that Allah Ta'ala sent me as a deputy, as a messenger, and I've come for this reason. That's why I became an alim, a scholar. That if the words of the Sunnah Sharia come from my statements and they penetrate their hearts, and due to this people will start to practice. Yes, I say this clearly to people. Yes, people don't say this, they're ashamed, that they'll get upset. Don't, they won't get upset, that I will take their du'as, their prayers. They will supplicate for me that, oh, he's given us success, we'll get the funds and we will deliver the deen. So after today, this is what we should do. That somehow this message has to be delivered to the people, that we are jahil, we have read and the people I'm going to, they don't know. We've read hadith, we have madaris, institutes, places of learning, but the place where we're going, look, if we see Deoband and Saranpur, can we have that effect here? That practice is very difficult. So when that person comes and tells us the pure deen, then very quickly it will affect us, impact on us. And that's why that scholar has been sent here. That's why you've come here. Yes, okay, you've come here, you want to get some funds, but that's why you've been sent here. Say SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as I was saying, I was talking about nafs, the desires. I gave you an example of the nafs. A little bit of an example. How much the nafs, how he traps person, deceives someone. Because nafs is very cunning. So how do we control the nafs? How do we oppose it? What is the solution? How? via the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll say to nafs, we're not going to obey you, we're going to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I'd like to tell you a unique point, a point of love that's coming in my heart, and this is the discussion, the Sufi discussion about to start now. Subhanallah. First, I give you a bit of a warning, but then we discuss the Sufi. We're Sufis, and we don't argue, quarrel. We are those who distribute love, speak about love. So let's speak about love and affection. So if we look at nafs, that you've heard about many events of the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, the events, the examples of their life, all their maqams. It says every wali who attained a maqam, whoever was a wali of Allah, friend of Allah, it was due to one point, that he opposed his nafs's desire. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Ya wallahi, he didn't become a wali Allah through ibadah, worship. Ask any wali that your salah is accepted. Say, are you mad? What guarantee do you have that my salah is accepted? That I cry for so long after salah, that maybe it's not accepted, that maybe you pray salah and disappear, but Allah's given me a quality that after salah I cry, that Allah, you've allowed me to pray salah, will it be accepted or not? My salah, if it takes 10 minutes, that after praying salah 10 minutes, maybe it takes 30 minutes to beg to Allah to accept the salah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the quality, the glory of the friends of Allah, that when they pray to Allah, then they cry after that, Allah, will you accept this for me? Will you accept this? Maybe it took 15 minutes to pray, but 30 minutes after that he cries, Allah, you've allowed me to pray. Allah, please accept. Ya Allah, please accept my Mawla. I don't know what I've prayed. Accept Allah. And he keeps on crying for this. Subhanallah. So the friends of Allah, they have a unique status. So all the walis of Allah, how have they come to this status? When they oppose their desires, who didn't obey their desires. That's how a person becomes a wali Allah. Subhanallah. If you have desire to become a friend of Allah, then start this job. Start this function. This is the path I'm explaining to you, prescribing to you. Who should we oppose? The nafs. Yes, after 2 months he's going to get the training, Ramadan. The Ramadan is for people to become Sufis, friends of Allah. And if a person enters into Ramadan with this niya, alhamdulillah, then he will depart Ramadan as a wali Allah. There's a guarantee Ramadan takes of this point. Subhanallah. That Ramadan prepares muttaqis. He prepares walis of Allah. Great awliya Allah are created during these 30 days. People who come into Ramadan in a bad state, when they depart Ramadan at the end of the month, they have the seal, the stamp of walayat. Friends of Allah, what ibadah did they do? Same salah they pray for? No. But they did one big ibadah that they didn't do all year long. What is that ibadah? That they opposed their nafs, their desires. From morning till evening, one action. I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, etc. Everything which is even things that are permissible, they say, no, I'm not going to do this. So then I'm not going to do this. Why? I don't want to do it. That my Nabi has said no. And then they're afraid that, I don't want this to break my fast. I don't want this to make a mistake. They have so much khawf and taqwa. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is Ramadan. So Allah's wali, if we cannot become a wali Allah, then what should we do? Yeah? That, or do we remain as animals? We think that Allah, you've given us Ramadan, then we still become the same as we were before. Brothers, we think that Ramadan is for thawab, O servants of Allah. Ramadan isn't for earning thawab. Allah has given us Ramadan to make us His friends. Subhanallah. Isn't this the case? So those people who have wisdom, they say, no, not one Ramadan. Whole life we should pass like we did in Ramadan. So when I depart, the call will be made, Ya ayyuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbika. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that you have come out of Ramadan pure. Come, you are content with me, I'm content with you. Allah says, Subhanallah. Radiyatan mardiyah. These are the good people who have used Ramadan properly and spent the rest of their life as if they are in Ramadan. How? What is the method of passing Ramadan? What is the methodology? To oppose the desires. So the person who opposes the desires all life long, then he stayed in the, you can say, environment of Ramadan. The person, this is the message of Ramadan, the person who opposes his desires and lives his life like that, then it's as if his whole life is Ramadan in passing. Subhanallah. Every night of his is Laylatul Qadr. Subhanallah. Remember these points that I'm saying. Am I wrong or am I right? Yes. So do these points pierce your heart? Are they coming into your heart? Are they having an impact on the heart? That look, how long is life, my brothers? How long is life? Maybe 5 years, 4 years, a stretch. Not more than that. Yeah? If we go beyond what we're trying, so if we live our life like this a little bit, that we don't listen to the nafs and go towards impurity, that's it. That's it. So Allah Ta'ala, when a person, now the point about love that I'd like to share with you, that when a person, when he doesn't listen to the nafs instructions and he passes life like this, he doesn't obey his desires, doesn't listen to his desires, I don't want to listen to the desires anymore, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu will listen to them, then Allah Ta'ala creates something for that person. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala gives them a reward. This is one reward. Yeah, this is a great thing to oppose the nafs. But this is one reward that Allah Ta'ala creates a quality in that person. A quality. Subhanallah. What is that quality? This is called presence. Presence. Subhanallah. Yes, this is a word of tasawwuf. Presence of the qalb, presence of the heart. Yes? Worship of the heart, worshipping, submitting, submission of the heart. Allah Ta'ala gives him the lease of life, a spiritual lease of life. Automatically it impacts him. This is a reward he's getting. So when you don't listen to the nafs, then Allah will give you a reward. Then inside you such a light will be created that you will have presence. You will feel the presence in your heart. And every wali of Allah has this created within him. Subhanallah, Allah creates this, brings this scenario. What happens with that presence? That submission, when a person opposes desires, when the nur, the light of presence of the heart, submission of the heart comes about, his heart, then at that time, Subhanallah, what happens? It becomes a place which is the benefactor of Allah Ta'ala's rahmaniyat, Allah's mercy, Subhanallah. And this is one reward for not listening to the nafs. What happens that within, he's got presence of the qalb, sometimes he's in Medina, sometimes he's in Makkah, Subhanallah. He feels like this strongly. Now his emotions are super. That am I awakened seeing this or am I in a dream and seeing this? This is not ilham. Is this ilham or reality? Sometimes he tries to touch with his hands. That maybe I've arrived there. That he's drinking water, zamzam water in his hand. He wants to touch it and feel it. So here we see the events of the walis of Allah. The great events you will hear about. The presence of their heart. The submission of their heart. Ajib, unique events and incidents. In such a way, Allama Suyuti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, let me present his statement to you. That what was the feeling of his presence of heart, his submission? I'm talking about presence of heart. How did he feel? It could be, maybe he was awake, maybe sleeping, maybe he was seeing. But the person who has that presence of heart, he doesn't know that. What is this emotion of mind? Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He doesn't know. And Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi stated that if for a moment, if I don't see the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I consider I'm losing out. Ajeeb statement, brothers. Ajeeb statement. And there was another statement of his that 70 times I'm awake, I've seen the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes. And sometimes I see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I speak with him. These are our qabireen, our pious predecessors. What is this? The reward for a person who leaves listening to his nafs. So this is how the emotions come about, improve the feeling. He feels that Nabi Islam is in front of me and I've just spoken to him. This is the presence, the closeness that person has. Imagine how the value of Ramadan increases for that person. That was a nafs that drops a person, reduces him to dust. But Allah Ta'ala has given us qualities and energy in the heart. There's light in the heart. There's capacity in the heart. There's capability in the heart. There's power in the heart. That the Holy Prophet, they can see, a person can see the Holy Prophet. Imagine this. Imagine this. He speaks with so the nafs enables a person when he crushes his desires, enables him to see Rasulullah, to speak to Rasulullah. This is the power of the heart. The heart. But how sad, Allah has given us a short life, but we listen to the nafs so much and we destroy everything else. We reduce everything else to rubble. We think we are created for just eating, drinking, and money, bring the kids up, and eating and enjoying ourselves and following. We haven't understood Islam in reality. We haven't understood Islam. The life of a mu'min, alhamdulillah, is such that in the dunya, from the dunya when he goes to Jannah, he'll think, they haven't been transferred, he'll think I'm still in the same place. Subhanallah. Yani that's how beautiful this world is for him because of what he's doing is correct. That he has a life of calm, relaxation when he opposes the desires, doesn't listen to the nafs, and he follows Allah and his Rasul Salam. Then ajeeb, beautiful life becomes for him. That the people in the world think he's in difficulty, but he says, no, there's no greater ease than this that I've got. Subhanallah. Today, until today, you can look at the life of the wali, Allah, any wali, he will never complain. Never from his statement or tongue will he complain. Never. There isn't any. You say, how dare we do that? We are, Allah save us. A king says, I'm this and that. And the fakir, for example, they're having pity on him. He said, why are you having pity on me? I've got that thing which is going to live forever. Forget about your kingdom that will end one day. You should feel pity on yourself. Oh king, I don't need your money, your wealth. Keep your lands and kingdom and your power. Once somebody came to Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh. Two individuals came. And after some years, he was a minister, he was an MNA, MP, and he reached to a high, Lagari Sahib, I think it was, big post. After a while, for quite a long time, he was a MNA, he was a chief minister, I think, in the country. And he had, a baggage, he had goods. Maybe Hazrat Sahib's dua gave him some benefit. He came with a bag full of notes, top to bottom, and I was there present. Notes, currency. Hazrat Sahib was sitting, came inside. He said, Hazrat Sahib, some people have come to meet you. Who? Sardar Sahib's come. They were called Sardars, the weak people. Who Sardar Sahib's come? This Sardar Sahib, Hazrat Sahib said, is it? Why has he come to me? Why has he come to me? Okay, fine, he came the other day, I did dua for him. Now, for what reason has he come? Oh, he said that we just want to meet you for 5 minutes. Hazrat Sahib said, okay, fine, call him. So he came in and he sat down and the bag was in his hand and he sat, put the bag to the side. And Hazrat Sahib saw that. And in his dialect, said, what's this? Hazrat Sahib asked, in his words. That man was sat there. I thought this was another man. Not that due to the fear, he didn't do this action. Hazrat Sahib said, what's this, Sardar Sahib? He said, Hazrat Sahib, nothing, Hazrat Sahib, just a little bit of hadiya, just some gift. Hazrat Sahib said, this much hadiya? If this is hadiya, I've never seen this much gift. What sort of gift is this that you brought? What is this? And then the other individual said that this is just some hadiya, Janab. Just open it. And he opened the bag and showed. And Hazrat Sahib got a jolt. And this was Hazrat Sahib. 3-4 days he wouldn't eat. He didn't get food. Bread wouldn't be needed. No dough. The stove wouldn't be lit. It was full of notes, currency, money. So Hazrat Sahib put their hands towards him and said, Sardar Sahib, please get up. And after today, please don't come to me. Don't come to me. I'm a poor man. I'm a fakir person. So leave me like this. I don't do friendship with rich people. SubhanAllah. These were his words. That me and your friendship, how can it progress? You are rich. I'm a poor man. But you asked me to do dua. I did dua for you. You please take this with you. And after that, please don't come back. Allahu Akbar. So he took the bag and he disappeared, the poor soul. So the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, their maqam is unique. My Hazrat's discussion has started. Nowadays in Pakistan, there's a culture. What do we say? You know, there's a CD or a cassette in Pakistan. It arrived to me about Hazrat Sahib. And it was an alim, a scholar. Can't remember his name. Big scholar, and he gave a speech. And nowadays it's running in Pakistan. Our Hazrat, very few people know Hazrat Sahib. In Pakistan, they don't know him. As I said, he, mashallah, was a great sheikh. But he didn't spread his name in the Khanka that was there, beautiful Khanka. And then when Hazrat Sahib sent me out, then Hazrat Sahib's name spread. Otherwise, he was very silent. He didn't spread his name. There was just one journey from his village straight to Umrah or Hajj. That's it. Apart from that, nothing. SubhanAllah. So, Hazrat Sahib, SubhanAllah, he was a great wali. And someone said to Hazrat Sahib once, why don't you go out and wander about? He laughed and smiled and said, if Allah Ta'ala sends people to me, then why do I need to go out and wander around? Hazrat Sahib looked at me and smiled. That he will go, he'll do the work of the deen. That I don't need to go, he's from a foreign land. Why do I need to wander around in other countries? Yeah? So you're all here, aren't you, due to that? SubhanAllah. So what great words the Hazrat Wala said. And he said such great things that a person can never imagine. And he'd smile and give the answer. And he hinted towards me, I don't need to go, that Allah Ta'ala sends. And Hazrat looked towards me, he looked at me, which man is going to be similar? Who? What's he going to do, this man? What's he going to do? Yeah, he doesn't look, he doesn't have alim, he hasn't got any knowledge. And there's other great scholars, they all smile. And Hazrat Sahib smiled. Hazrat Sahib was silent at that time. And today, those same ulama ikram, I go, they stand. They stand, all of them. So they come for ziyarah to meet, SubhanAllah. Why? Because they yaqeen, they imagine what Hazrat Sahib said, and it's been fulfilled today. What their experience was, what their foresight was, SubhanAllah. And nowadays, going around is stopped. Otherwise, we've wandered around the whole world. 200 brothers with me, I was wandering in Paris, wandering around. Ask the brothers. Yes, Jamaat, we went out, women and men. We used to wander around together, mashallah. Yes, and the Sharia parents and Parda, children, 200, 250 brothers. And where were we? In Paris. What's that place in Paris? The Eiffel Tower? Yeah. That's the place. Yeah, we went there. And when it's Salah time, I said, give adhan. Everybody's praying Salah there. Subhanallah. And cameras came, TV crews, the good days, not when there were fitna and fasad. People used to love each other and have respect for each other in them days. The dunya came, people came, TV crews, which qom is this? Who are these people? What are they doing here? What have you come for? Believe me, the most famous newspaper printed our news on the front page. So Hazrat Sahab spoke the truth. His words were haq. This is the saying of the Darvish. So he was a hidden sheikh. MashaAllah. And a CD is being circulated today, some scholar is speaking about Hazrat. And look at the words. He said, what was this event of Hazrat Sahab that's being shared? And it spread, something that Hazrat Sahab said, it spread, that MashaAllah Hazrat's karamat, the kashf, the inspiration. Very few things Hazrat Sahab shared with people, very few. So Hazrat Sahab went to Medina Sharif once, and we used to go regularly. Hazrat Sahab was a faqir, there was poverty, there was nothing. And Hazrat Sahab had nothing to eat, no food. And where would he eat? Nothing. A week passed, no food, nothing to eat, no money to go and buy some bread or chapati or naan. Nothing. Children were with Hazrat Sahab. In that state, Hazrat Sahab lie down in the masjid. And when they lie down, this is the one talking about presence of heart, qalb. Then when he was lying down, Rasulullah SAW came, was it ziyara, was it a dream, a vision? But as I said, that this is the emotion. You don't know if it's well awake or is inspiration, but this is the wali of Allah. Now, how did he see? How did you see? What were you doing? Never did we ask or question a sheikh. Never did we. When somebody explains his kashf, that's it. We just silently listen. We understand that this is huzuri, presence of heart, submission. Do you understand? So do you understand? Allama Suyuti Sahib said, 70 times I met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were silent. How, where, why? Did you see him with your eyes? No, I met him huzuri. How? Allah Ta'ala knows best. Allah Ta'ala knows best. That how people do ziyara, how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes, how they speak, how they seem. We don't know the emotion, the feeling at that time, the presence. So all we know is that they got the reward for what? For which reason? Because they opposed their nafs. They stopped listening to their desires. That's why I'm speaking to you. Today we have that capacity. Today we have that capability, O people of Bolton. We also have that capability. I swear by Allah, every second of ours in life, we should pass opposing the nafs. But we obey the nafs. We do dhikr, we read the Quran, we do everything, we read hadith. But who do we obey? The nafs, the desires. Tell me the truth. Who is it? The nafs. We'll do dhikr, depart, everything. Who will we obey? The nafs, the desires. Yes, we never thought, our Holy Prophet, what did he say? That do this. Never we thought that what did our Nabi say? That get up and pray, read Surah Yaseen. Never read Surah Sajda. Or no, we just done dhikr, go and jump onto the mattress. Nafs, desires. So the walis of Allah, they opposed their desires all night long. They woke up, they stayed awake in opposition to the nafs. All night long, all life long, if they didn't eat sweet dish, opposing the nafs. All life long, if they didn't eat meat, they opposed their nafs, their desires. Then imagine the emotion, the feeling. Rasulullah's ziyarat started. Subhanallah. So we want the same, we desire the same. We also want to do this. But we haven't adopted the methodology. Will we do it, brothers? Inshallah. This is not a speech, this is word, discussion of love. So what happened when Hazrat Sahab was there and the Rasulullah came, the Ali Murtaza, what's happened to you? What's happened? You're lying down hungry? You're hungry? For a week you haven't eaten? No food, I've realized, I've heard. And you didn't tell anybody? Then Hazrat Sahab gave the answer. That Ya Rasulullah, I'm your guest and I tell people, Subhanallah. Yes, that subhanallah, that this is the statement that has been shared. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is it? And Hazrat Sahib said, I'm your guest and I tell people, I don't tell anybody. Even if a year passes, I'll stay hungry. Subhanallah. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and said, is this the case? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, out of his pocket, took out a riyal and put it into the hand of Hazrat Sahib. Hazrat Sahib said, when my eyes opened, I saw in my hand was that riyal that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to me. And what, imagine that riyal, it's the treasure of Jannah that will never finish. That wealth, my brothers, it will never finish. Yes, that riyal in this world is used here, but it will be cashed in paradise. Allah, what do you give to me for this? that what will I get in paradise? Why? Because I kept this aside to cash in hereafter. This is given to me by the beloved hands of you, Habib. So I could have cashed it in the world, but I'm cashing it today. Allah, please you cash it for me. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So this is the presence we need to attain. Yes, there was a Wali Allah. And I'll tell you two events about presence and submission and closeness, and I'll share them with you, then we'll start dhikr. These two events I'm going to share with you, and then we'll start dhikr. So this sheikh, he went to Madinat al-Munawwara. I forgot his name, this sheikh. If it comes to my mind, I'll tell you. So he had a sheikh with him, this individual. He had a sheikh with him as well, this personality. And he became ill, severely ill, very ill, and in a very difficult situation, severely ill, so ill that he realized that the time had come for the last breath. So he sent a message to his Hazrat that I cannot come, Hazrat, and it's very difficult for me to stand up or to sit up, and I'm very weak. I ask for apologies that I could not come for your ziyarat. I couldn't come to you, present myself to you. And because they were present, those people, he said that I was lying down. What did I see? That it was either a dream or physically he came. I don't know, he knows. He said, I saw that Nabi al-Karim Zim had come, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was with him, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with him, and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu was with them, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He said, I looked at them, and behind them were some companions. And then I, out of love, I suddenly tried to stand up, that I could stand up and welcome the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but didn't have the energy, and I fell back. Then he said, this was the difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came close to me and said that you are ill. He said, yes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm ill, I've become unwell. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is it? And then did dua, Allah give you shifa. And then towards Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq or Hazrat Umar, towards Hazrat Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hinted and requested a book and pencil. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He said that the book and the pencil came. Nabi Sallam said, write to Abu Bakr Siddiq. The write, record. And he started, and he gave the pen, and he took the pen and wrote on the paper that we have increased his age 20 years. Subhanallah. 20 years his age has increased. Then Nabi Sallam raised his hands, did dua, and then departed. Subhanallah. He said, after that I awoke or came to consciousness. He was in consciousness, and then he came. He said that I moved my hands and feet, Subhanallah, and he felt the emotion. And he said it was the morning time, and I saw the door knocked, and my sheikh had come, Subhanallah. So he hadn't come before asking. He said sheikh came as well, and two men with him. He said then I got up, I tried to get up, and at that time I couldn't get up. It was a lot of weakness at that time. Then he came in front of me and he started smiling and said, Mubarak, 20 years your life has increased, mashallah. Subhanallah. So this is the situation of the murid. How can the sheikh not know about the situation of the murid? So my brothers, what was this? This was opposing the nafs, not listening to the nafs. If a person listens to the nafs desires, then tell me, how much can we succeed after that? That what sort of enjoyment is there if we follow the nafs? There's no reality of the nafs. That, for example, if a person opposes the nafs, then he gets the success. If you follow the nafs, you get nothing. If you leave the nafs, then what fantastic results you can attain. There's another sheikh I'd like to share with you his event. And he was also very ill. When people like this become ill, we say that or do dua for them, etc., and pray for them. But before that, the prayer occurs. The prayer has already occurred for those people. So he said, I'm ill, and what did I see? Subhanallah. That at my door, outside my door, I saw a person, like he was flying, very beautiful bird, like a beautiful, and as soon as he entered into my door, then he adopted the form of a human being. So he's like, he was flying down towards me, then he adopted the form of a human being. And he was coming with ease, and place was made for me. He sat down. After that, I saw in the end, the very Nurani, and everybody with respect stood, and it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had come. Nabi sallam came, presented himself, came close to me, and said, and addressed me. I don't know who he was with him. Addressed somebody to the side, that there are three people who have been sent here to this locality. Say Subhanallah. to assist you. This is the other world. I'm speaking about the people of Baltan. This happens in reality. Allah's Nabi says, he comes, subhanAllah. He said, three men have been sent to this locality to meet three people. He named the three people. Two other names he mentioned, and the third was me, my name, that I've come to meet you. And he was a great sheikh, that person. That's why I've come. So I thought I'll come and start with you. And he came close. He said, are you ill? And he said, yes, I am. So he came forward, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he put his hand on my forehead. And after that, he recited some kalma. I won't tell you the kalmas until you become proper people who follow the sunnah. Whoever follows the sunnah, this dua I will tell him, inshallah. This dua I also remember with the fadl of Allah. I remember this dua with the fadl of Allah. And I've taken the benefit of the dua. Rasulullah put his hand on my head and he recited the dua. 5-6 words in that dua. Say, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes, whoever becomes my true friend, I will tell him, subhanallah. Who is my true friend? Whoever implements the sunnah of Rasulullah and opposes his desires. These are the rewards that person gets. Great rewards. Yes, so he put his hand on my forehead. And then, as soon as he lifted his hand, he said that my body, there was such noor and light in my whole body that I was full of light, subhanAllah, full of light. And from my mouth I said that, may I be a sign for you, O Prophet of Allah, I'm totally fine now, totally free from my illness. And the other sahabi said, O Prophet of Allah, that this dua, if we recite this, and must be a great, such a great dua, that's such a great thing you've said, whoever recites this dua, the same result will come for that person. Subhanallah. So until today, I haven't put my hand on somebody's forehead and read this dua, but this is the effect of the dua. Subhanallah. What I've seen, what I'm sharing with you, the emotion, the result, such a great reward Allah Ta'ala has given. So this dunya, if you want to attain it, you want to attain this dunya, my friends? If you want to attain success in this dunya and the hereafter, then do one ibadah. What is that ibadah? Oppose the nafs, go against the desires. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If you want to be successful in this world, then the biggest ibadah is what? It is this ibadah. And Allah Ta'ala, He will make us do this ibadah 30 days in Ramadan, which is to oppose the desires. That's it. And if you see that you're opposing the desires, if you see your nafs as one, then grab hold of your head and lament and say, Allah, I've made a mistake. I listened to the nafs and He made me follow Him. He made me do this wrong action or take me through this towards this enjoyment. Allah, I will leave the nafs from now. Never accept defeat with the nafs. Always oppose. 24 hours continue to oppose the nafs. And say, Allah, that what should be the tool to oppose the nafs? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. And suddenly the nafs is defeated. Soon as you bring the sunnah in opposition to the nafs, immediately it loses. As Junaid sahab rahmatullahi alayhi stated, that 40 years I wandered in the jungles to kill off the nafs. As a Sayyid al-Taifa, as a Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi, said, 40 years I wandered around in the jungle, in the forest to oppose and crush the desires. What ibadah I didn't do. But friends, I tell you, nafs only was beaten, defeated by one action, which was sunnat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I took that as the weapon to kill the nafs, it was defeated. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. As-salatu was-salam. لا إله إلا الله سبحانه أما الله من هذا من لا تنقصه. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.